Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 8th of June. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Stacy Eads. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Keeping busy?
Absolutely.
There wasn't even a hesitation on that one.
No.
Yeah.
No time to hesitate.
Yeah. Just knocking it out of the park. All right. Well, I suppose then I probably should have found something a little bit sooner, but okay. I don't know if you're going to like this one or not. Why do we say dead as a doornail?
I have no idea. I just was thinking of like a coffin and nails in a coffin. So, but I'm sure that's not it. But so I don't know. You've stumped me yet again.
Oh, well. Okay. It's a short one. That's why I selected it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because time is of the essence, right?
It is.
Okay, fine. Anything from a withered houseplant to a failed project that is beyond resurrection is likely to be described as being dead as a doornail. Both mechanical and electrical doorbells are of recent invention. In earlier centuries, oh, this could be ugly, a visitor's arrival was announced by pounding with a knocker upon a metal plate nailed to the door. Sometimes it took several heavy blows to attract attention. That meant nails holding the knocking plate suffered a lot of punishment. Repeatedly hitting on its head, such a nail had the life pounded out of it so effectively that nothing could be deader. I had visions of animals hanging on doors.
I'm glad that's not what it was.
It was like, you know, no, I don't think that's where it's going. Can it tell you where my mind has been lately?
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, I guess I have to ask you the question I've been asking everybody else now that the budget is coming, I guess, close to adoption?
Yes.
Is that next
I think ultimately
week?
2 weeks out. Well, so next 20th. Week they have the budget hearings on the 12th. So the public hearings, I believe, at 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock.
Do you guys have to show up for that? Or is it the supervisors kind of handling it on their own?
We're welcome to attend those hearings and, if possible, address whatever concerns or
somebody
questions
has some
that
thoughts, yeah.
folks might have.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is, survivable this year or not?
Yes. For us, definitely. We have a great business manager who has done a fine job managing our budget internally. We have a number of resources available to us via grants. Additionally, there are some additional funds that assist us, including the fact that we've been understaffed in most, if not all, of our units within the district attorney's office. So that has buffered us. So we are actually continuing to recruit for a number of positions and looking for qualified candidates. So we are certainly moving forward. And although I certainly appreciate that all departments will be tightening their belts, and we're doing that as well. And we have a few unfilled vacant positions that were going to allow us to take on some new projects within the office that we were finally given kind of the thumbs up, I think in October or so of 2022 to fill those. But we are not going to be filling those three positions, but that won't have a direct impact on anyone's current employment, nor will it impact some other recruitments, including other admin analyst recruitment that we're doing.
So are those areas that you'd like to be able to have the office pursue that not going to be able to? I know for department heads, it's the department. I'm looking at it from outside going, okay, is there a risk factor associated with not having those positions filled?
Well, of course, with more individuals to take on the current workload and also to address, you know, things in the future, it certainly helps to have a fully staffed office. But I also have to be a realist in terms of that we need to tighten our belts in those places that we can. And that's an area where we can and we can get through for the next few years, consistent with the projections that are being provided to us by the CAO and via the board. So, you know, ideal world, we would be fully staffed. and that's certainly not, you know, the world that we're living at this moment. But we will continue to provide the services that we need to provide to the community and law enforcement.
You forgot to say, and all the bad guys and girls don't live in Humboldt County anymore. In the perfect world. I've had a couple people ask, and I don't know if this is something that you are aware of or not, but what percent of the tax dollars that go, that are generated within the county, end up going into public safety? Is there any idea? So if there's a 10% increase in, let's say just general retail sales tax, is it ever put together and said, this is what it means to your department, to the sheriffs, to the cities, and how that goes into either fire or law enforcement?
Well, I think it depends on which type of tax you're looking at. So the one that consumes a lot of time and thought is the Measure Z, then, which actually had sunsetted and then was given
a new life,
you know, and via, I think it was Measure O. So that continues on, and that particular tax is designed to specifically address public safety. So within our office and the sheriff's department, a number of positions are funded via Measure Z, and that's a very significant revenue source for our office, and directly assists us in maintaining our deputy district attorneys, as well as, I believe, an investigator position, and allows us to address the child abuse issues and public safety issues that measure was specifically designed to address, and that the voters of Humboldt County opted to prioritize.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County's DA, Stacy Eads. Stacy, we hear that the county has got a contingency fund, and that's kind of what is being drawn down a little bit for this coming budget cycle. Are the departments allowed to have contingency funds? There was kind of like, and maybe it was an urban legend, but that if you get, as a department, you had 10 bucks, and you were a wise steward of it, and you only spent 8 bucks. Then when it came around to budget time the following year, they'd look at it and go, hey, you only needed $8. So this year, you're going to get $8. Thank you very much. Do you have any of those abilities to set aside a little bit? So if you're paying attention, maybe not throwing as many paper clips out the window as normally happens. Do you get the savings? Can you kind of store that up and buy a computer or buy something that might not otherwise be affordable?
Well, I think the big picture easy answer is that those monies that aren't spent would return to the county general fund if that's where they came from. And then, yes, they would, you know, be good reason to look back at, like, what really is the cost of running your department, and that would best be reflected by your actual expenses. That said, obviously costs increase, including salary for positions, and just the general cost of living and the cost of supplies, everything goes up. And I appreciate that everyone's experiencing that probably in every part of their lives today. So, but there certainly are fund sources that are earmarked for specific purposes. And so those monies obviously would be limited in terms of what particular use they might be able to fulfill.
So if it was grant fund dollars, it wouldn't qualify to go back to the general fund then? Because they were garnered for a specific use.
Right.
Regardless of whether or not you're able to find somebody to fill that position.
Right, but within the body of the grant, we might be returning those funds. So that to the grant.
That would be disappointing, wouldn't it? If you find somebody, you have to give the money back? Instead of save it until you can get somebody to step across the line and work for them?
Well, it would depend on the terms of the grant. And so sometimes, you know, things change. For example, when everyone went through COVID, what the expenses were and the needs were had to be modified. And so you can oftentimes seek amendments or changes, modifications to your grant source and seek the thumbs up to make those changes as needed. But, you know, you don't just necessarily have the option to just sort of squirrel away the monies until, you know, a rainy day for whatever purpose you might so desire. There's, you know, accountability and responsibility and duties we have to fulfill with these monies.
No, when you said squirrel, I went back to the door.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Don't do that to the squirrel.
Focus. There's a thought, viable or not, I won't disclose the source, about exploring the concept of having a grant writing team for the county. Obviously, the flip side of that is they don't know any one department really good, and the specifics that might be required there. You got any thoughts on that yet?
I think that could be an amazing idea, and I would love to see that be put into action. There's a lot of time, a lot of resources that are going to the grant writing, the research, the putting together the programs that would, fit what the grant is trying to achieve, whatever the objective might be. And then also just complying, fulfilling the particular obligations and the reporting requirements, all of which make really good sense. But it is a very, very time-consuming process. And it's being asked of staff who already have quite a bit on their plate, plenty to fill the day and beyond. So I think that could be very beneficial to the county at large in terms of finding sources beyond just the, you know, local tax base. And so I think that that would be a wise investment on the county's part. And we certainly would be more than happy to work with such a department if there were to be one, in terms of helping them understand, you know, what it is we do at the district attorney's office, what our needs are, and how we can best meet the community's needs.
An overview or partnering with somebody, a contact within the department, so that you were certain that there weren't wrong words used that might have different definitions based on whatever the department might be.
Right. And it's a lot of work. We're working on a new grant right now. And so just sort of tailoring that and designing to ensure that we're fulfilling or developing a program that would be consistent with what the grant objectives are, but at the same time, not trying to create new work and new requirements within the office. So we want it to be essentially something that will help us continue to do what we're already doing and enhance those services.
That's one of the trickies. If you get it, do you have to designate somebody to handle it, and then is the benefit kind of muted because you lose two staff members to it,
right?
So to speak.
Right.
Gee, I figured it out.
Yes, you did. Good job.
Well, I guess because I got hit by the duck. KINS, News and Information, David C.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DEA, Stacy Eads. Stacy, with the budgets, you know, you've done a couple of road shows, public presentations, whether it's to the electeds or to others. What area seems to get people's attention, either as being a surprise or they didn't know? Is there any one consistent trend that's there that people are unfamiliar with?
Not that I am aware of. That's I don't know. That would just cause me to try to guess what's in their minds a little more than. But just from questions that were asked, I suppose just sort of maybe the volume of cases that we process within the office and a lot of the decision making that we do, and the direction that referrals from law enforcement agencies, referrals in other words police reports, you know, that are outlining investigations of criminal activity within the community, and what our options are and what we do and the determinations we make. So I think just kind of understanding kind of those nuts and bolts is helpful for folks.
Some of the national news stories that get kicked around, do people ask you about those? Either for opinion or if it was in Humboldt County, what would be the outcome or how that would play out?
Sure, I've been asked questions along those lines, you know, from folks, but less during presentations and probably more just in casual conversation or conversations with family members and friends.
Oh, so your family's busting your chops, huh?
No, I think that some people might suppose that I watch more news and than I do in reality. I am pretty immersed in just my work and my family and what's happening in Humboldt County, and that's kind of where I keep my focus. I don't track cases and watch what's happening just because it might be in the news nationwide. I, of course, try to have a good overview and a, you know, feeling of what's happening within our nation and in the world at large. But
okay, clue me in when you get
don't
a chance.
I don't watch hearings for other cases. I have plenty.
You don't have C-SPAN running in the office?
No.
I would think there would be a normal tendency for some folks if like the New York City DA does something goofy, just to either make a comment or ask an opinion. You know, is that something that's normal? Is that something that's abnormal? Is that big city activity, or is that something that could happen here? Those types of questions, rather than anything a little bit more specific than that.
Sure, people have their opinions and their questions, and you know, for me, it always just kind of comes back to what are the particular facts that are presented, what are the laws, what are the rules, and you know, with those elements, you know, what's the right thing to do given a particular situation. And of course, that answer can be different for different folks. But that's sort of just, I keep it relatively simple in that regard, and process and make the best decision I can based upon the information that's available to me.
When you do the public presentations, surface level stuff, or do you try to focus in one area and give a pretty detailed presentation of that aspect of the department?
Well, it depends on the audience and the topic in terms of like how detailed we need to go. So, you know, with like the budget presentation, for example, it was really a very, you know, general overview with some statistics and, you know, to give folks a sense of what we're doing within the district attorney's office to address public safety concerns and trying to, you know, serve the community with a high level of integrity and provide the treatment and respect that victims and all members of our community are deserving of. So so it just depends, I guess, is the simple answer to your question.
That's no, I don't need to take a cheap shot, do I?
You can do whatever you need to do.
Nah, I don't want to become too predictable. It depends, right? It's the typical response from some of the electeds.
Well, and lawyers too, I have to say, you know.
So it's like you're doubling down on it.
there are a few absolutes, you know.
Jeez. Has the climate in the courtroom changed much in the last couple of years? Not with the masking and the, you know, that kind of stuff, but just in general terms. And we hear that everybody has a sense that there's less wiggle room. Everybody's wound up a little bit tighter, that there's not quite as much willingness to hear the other perspectives. Has that transferred into the courtroom setting, either with the pros that are there or with the community members that are either serving as jurors or in the peanut gallery applauding?
I think that just over the years, you know, I've had the opportunity to see some trends, and you can see, you know, as folks come in as newer, younger lawyers or members of the justice community, you know, that might have one perspective, and as they move forward and, you know, get a little more experience under their belts and perhaps, you know, develop a little more of an understanding of others' experiences and perspectives, and ideally build trust in one another to a certain degree. And but, you know, I think that it's important to always maintain that professionalism within the courtroom, and our community, you know, deserves that respect. And I think that by acting and presenting professionally is very important. And sadly, sometimes I see a little bit of a lack of professionalism. And that can come from anywhere. It's not one particular group or another, but that is certainly something that within the district attorney's office, we strive to always maintain. And that's what we have control over. How others might choose to behave or what their perspectives are. Well, that's kind of their responsibility at the end of the day. And so, and like our behaviors and our perspectives are our responsibility. So we can certainly model the best that we can. And that's what I ask of my attorneys and staff. And that's what I see.
Can you practice that or train to that? Or is it just a reminder?
I would say it's all of the above. I think it's more natural for some, and others it might be a bit more of a challenge. But I'm proud of the employees at the district attorney's office, and I think that it's a professional group that are working hard with a lot on their plates and doing the best they can, and also hopefully maintaining good, you know, personal lives and keeping that work-life balance that we hear about as well.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Stacy Eads. So, Stacy, as you are looking into the future, certainly one of the challenges of any department head is today, but it's as critical tomorrow. What is it looking like next 6 months, next year, year and a half? I mean, are there things now that you're seeing that need some attention, or that could be beneficial if you're able to maybe change the direction of certain things a couple degrees?
Well, with so the time frame, that depends. So within the next 6 months, I don't see any real dramatic changes. But as we continue to move forward, I do think that we will continue to enhance our ability to continue to go paperless. You know, and a lot of that is reliant on working with the IT department of Humboldt County and the infrastructure in terms of facilitating our capacity to handle things electronically and not shut down the network as we try to do the work that we need to do and have it fast enough. So that's something that, you know, it's been an ongoing project, and is that goal remains the same. There are a number of things that I'm excited to continue to explore in terms of how we might be able to enhance them and provide you know, faster accountability in terms of criminal conduct within the community, addressing folks that, you know, perhaps are first-time offenders that had never found themselves within the criminal justice system, and perhaps depending upon the nature of the conduct, handling those matters without the necessity of even going into the court system. And so I'm beginning to explore those particular options and hopefully develop a program that might be able to divert cases, you know, and have them not go to the criminal court system. If we can address accountability, restitution, change the behavior so the individual doesn't find themselves even close to the criminal justice system again in terms of as an offender. So that's certainly a goal of mine, to enhance community safety, reduce the cost and the expense, and make it a more timely action rather than filing and having things in the court for a year and perhaps beyond. And we could tailor the accountability measures perhaps to fit the individual a little bit more than what might happen within the court system.
Are there a lot of those first-time offenders? That's a phrase that is used and has been used for decades in reference to either a whoops or something that is like a aberration of the normal pattern of behavior for somebody. But once it's done, isn't there a tendency for somebody to do that again?
Oh, I don't think it's that simple. I mean, I certainly have faith in people, you know, having the ability to change their behaviors and learn from their mistakes. It just depends on what the underlying conduct is and what degree of, you know, safety risk that might have presented, or what the impact was if there was a direct victim who was harmed, and what can we do to perhaps make the victim whole again? What can we do to put safety measures in place to ensure that the conduct doesn't occur again? And, you know, but But I think accountability and having that behavior addressed in some form of fashion is a key factor in terms of, you know, helping the individual not reoffend.
And making sure that everybody feels comfortable with that too.
Right.
Yeah, the community response.
Right. And it depends, you know, of course, on what we're talking about. You know, it could be from, you know, driving without a license to you know, murder.
Something more severe.
So, you know, if it's a traffic violation or maybe a first time theft incident, I think those are, you know, types of conducts or possession of, you know, narcotics. Those are things that we might be able to address without having to really have significant court involvement.
Are there the support programs available for a lot of those here?
It varies.
Okay.
There certainly.
Well, good. At least
programs,
it doesn't depend. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.